We got straight lines and we got things that curve. So let's suppose that we've got something like that. How much curving is in that?
Degrees, you mean?
What's that?
Degrees, you mean?
Yeah, sure. Degrees is fine.
Like about 93 or something degrees.
Let's call it 90 degrees. It's just taking a left turn. You can imagine, you know, a car going down a road and you turn left and you go this way. So we're going to say the total curvature of this path is 90 degrees or so. Okay? What is the total curvature in this path?
360.
Why?
Because the whole circle is 360.
Yeah. Okay? Okay, next time we're going to let somebody else answer, okay? Good answer, but let's let somebody else have a turn this time. Okay. What about if you had this? How about that shape? What's the total curvature of that? Yeah, second row.
Considering that it's a triangle, I'd say 180 degrees.
The total curvature is 180?
Yeah.
Okay, does everybody agree it's 180? What do you think back there in the green sweat?
360,
because it goes all the way around. Because it goes all the way around, yeah. You know, right now, if you're heading this way and you turn this much, how much have you changed your direction?
45.
Have you changed your direction by this angle? No, you've changed your direction by this angle. Right? You were heading east and now you're heading north by northwest. You've rotated more than 90 degrees, right? This is a sharper turn than this is. You know, this angle here is smaller than this angle is, but this angle on the outside is bigger than this angle on the outside. Whenever you're turning, you know, if you're riding in a car and the driver turns the wheel to the left, the amount that the driver turns the wheel is the amount that your direction is changing. Here, the direction changed by a lot. Started off east and it went past north and a little bit more. It's more than 90 degrees. And over here, it changed by about 90 degrees. Okay? So, let's take it to an extreme. Let's talk about this path. Let's imagine the turns are so sharp, you can turn on a dime. So there's a dime in each of these three corners. So it's a 30-cent triangle. And you're going to take those turns. We're going to talk, you know, we're going to have two notions of curvature for these curves. One is the total amount of curvature, where the total amount of curvature as you go around the loop is 360, or we're usually going to use radians and call it 2 pi. And then we're going to talk about the curvature per unit length. And that's when you hear the word curvature used, usually mean curvature per unit length. But we're mostly going to talk about the total amount of curvature. So how much curvature is concentrated in this vertex? Second row. Yeah. What's your name?
My name's Dylan.
Dylan, okay.
Right, so we're assuming this is an equilateral triangle.
Nah. No. I drew it like an equilateral triangle, but...
Well, let's say it's not.
Let's give the three angles names. Let's call this angle alpha, and this angle beta, and this angle gamma. So how much curvature is there as you go around that corner?
360 minus beta.
360 minus beta? Let's see, if you were going in a straight line and weren't curving at all, how big would beta be?
Beta would be 180.
180, right? And how much curvature would you have if you were just going in a straight line?
Zero.
Okay. So it can't be 360 minus beta.
180 minus beta.
Yeah, 180 minus beta. And why is it 180 minus beta?
Because your straight line is 180 degrees. And
yeah. Because the exterior angle, the amount on the outside, is how much you're changing your direction. You had been pointing this way, and now you turn, and now you're pointing this way. That the amount that you've changed directions is not the interior angle, it's the exterior angle. If you took a turn like this, where the exterior angle is pretty small, then you're not turning very much. If you do a hairpin turn and you double back on the direction that you had been going, then that's going to be how much? 180. Okay. Now, so as you go around this loop, what's the total curvature that you got to have? How much do you change your direction total as you go around the loop? Why? Let's see some new hands. I'm seeing the same hands. Let's see some new hands. Yeah, there's a new hand.
Because the sum of all of the exterior angles in any geometric shape always equals 360.
Why?
I don't know.
Well, let's see. You started off pointing east, right? You go all the way around. And at the end of the loop, what direction are you pointing?
East again.
East again. So if you've started off at east and you finished at east, the amount that your direction has changed, if you think of your direction as an angle, say the angle relative to east, you're pointing back in the same direction, so you must have gone around the circle a whole number of times. So here is the magical fact. The total curvature around any loop is a multiple of 360 degrees or 2 pi radians. Okay? And that's because the curvature is the amount that your direction changes. If you come all the way around and you're pointing in the same direction that you started, then it had to change by 360 degrees. Or maybe 720 degrees. Or maybe negative 360 degrees. What does a negative curvature mean? It means you're going the other direction, exactly. So if you have a loop, a pattern that looks like this. Okay. Then over here, we say the curvature is positive. Because going around this loop, your angle, we're going to measure angles relative to, say, we'll call this your angle. And here, theta is getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, so we'll call that positive curvature. And then over here, you're bending back the wrong way. You're bending to the right. Theta is getting smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. We call that negative curvature. And here the curvature is positive again. And then negative. And then positive. And then negative. And then positive. And then negative. Every time you turn to the left, that's positive curvature. Every time you turn to the right, that's negative curvature. And what's the total curvature as you go around the loop?
360.
Why is it 360? Why isn't it 720? How do you know it's 360? Yeah, there's a new hand. What's your name?
Jacob.
Because each of the times it goes negative, it's a positive curvature, it's past 360. It is canceled out by one of the negative curvatures.
Yeah, the positive curvature, the negative curvatures, the positive curvatures, the negative curvatures, largely cancel out, and you just wind up with 360. And here's another way to see it. Suppose that you changed it a little bit. Suppose that you went, instead of doing this bend, you just did that. Would that change the total curvature?
No.
No. It wouldn't change the total curvature because all you're doing is you're skipping a left turn and you're skipping a right turn, and those cancel each other out. And the amount that your direction changes, you'd gotten to this direction, and instead of turning left and then back right and then a little bit left, you just keep going in the same direction. Well, what happened if you straightened this out? Doesn't change the total. Straighten this out. Doesn't change the total. Straighten this out. Doesn't change the total. So if you take out the wiggles, you don't change the total. And then if you puff it out to become more and more and more and more like a circle, it doesn't change the total. And what did we say the total curvature was when you ran around a circle?
360.
So let me improve on what we said. The total curvature around any loop is a multiple of 360, because you wind up where you back started. If it's a simple closed loop, going counterclockwise, the total is 360. Okay. By simple closed loop, I mean something that doesn't intersect itself. Because after all, what is the total curvature of that?
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. 720.
It's two circles.
It is two circles. Yeah, what do you think?
Infinity, because the circles overlap.
The circles do overlap each other. Let's squish this down a little. You see, if it has to be a multiple of 360, as we slowly change the path, it can't suddenly jump to another multiple of 360. It's got to always be the same multiple of 360 as you keep the path basically the same. So let's squish it down a little bit. Let's look at this path. Okay. The total curvature in this path should be about the same as this path, right? Because you get this one by gradually squishing this one. So how much curvature do you have over at this end? How much are you changing your direction? It's a hairpin turn. I see a hand part way up. 360 on the right? 180. Yeah, you're heading east, and you suddenly do a quick turn, and now you're heading west. And you just did this 180 degree turn to the left. So that's the curvature of 180. And then you go over here to the other end of the track, and you quickly do this turn. And how much curvature do you get on the other end?
180.
180? Why negative? Because you're turning to the right instead of the left? Yeah. You're turning to the right. So what you wind up over here is you can see that there's a curvature of about 180 degrees here and about minus 180 degrees there. And the total is?
Zero.
And we said before that you had to always come out to a multiple of 360, but we didn't say which multiple of 360.
Yep.
In this case, it's the zero multiple of 360. If you have a simple closed curve, something like this, and you go around it counterclockwise, it's 360. If you have this and you go around the other way, are you doing more left turns or right turns? You're doing the same amount, but you're doing it the other direction. So you get negative 360. So the law is not the total curvature is 360. The law is the total curvature is a multiple of 360. And if you're doing a simple closed curve going counterclockwise, it's got to give you 360. So now let's go back to our triangle. So the curvature here is 180 minus beta. What's the curvature over here? And what's the curvature here?
180 minus alpha.
Right, 180 minus alpha. And if you have to add them up, you got to get 360, right? Mm-hmm. So what happens when you add them up? What do we get? You know, just if you just naively add them all up, what do you get? If you just take this plus this plus this, what do you get? Yeah.
3 times 180 minus alpha minus beta minus gamma.
And that's got to be 360. Okay. So what does alpha plus beta plus gamma have to be?
180.
Not because it's a triangle. 3 times 180 is 360, which is also 2 times 180. Let's put the alpha plus beta plus gamma on the other side, and we'll subtract the twice 180 from this side, and we get 180 is equal to alpha plus beta plus gamma. And what do we get? So what rule did we just derive? The sum of the angles of a triangle have got to give you 180 degrees. Now, it's not that the curvature is this because the sum of the angles of a triangle is 180. It's that the sum of the angles of a triangle is 180 because, just a second, because the total curvature as you go around a loop has to be 360. Yes?
Suppose alpha, beta, and gamma all add up to 0. What then?
If alpha and beta and gamma all add up to 0, you don't have a triangle. Would alpha, hold up, beta equals 0 is a hairpin turn. Right? You come here and you point back to where you started so that there is no angle. So if you go and you make a hairpin turn, and then you make another hairpin turn, and then another hairpin turn, you don't wind up where you started. You go back and forth and back. And that's not closed. That's not closed. That has an end point that's not the starting point. Yeah?
Suppose our multiplier is 0. That's what I meant to ask.
What?
Suppose our multiplier is 0.
Ah. But the multiplier is not 0 because this is a simple closed curve.
Suppose it is, though. Theoretically.
But it isn't. But it isn't. We have a theorem. Well, suppose 2 plus 2 makes 5. Well, all sorts of crazy things could happen. You know, in this case, the multiplier is 1 because it's a simple closed curve. You're always turning left, and as you trace the circle, you go around this end of the circle, you go around this end of the circle, you go around this end of the circle, and how much has my direction changed? How many times have I turned around? You can watch it again if you want. The angle is which way my pen is pointing. How many times does the pen go around as I walk in a triangle? Right? I just turned around once. That's a 360 degree change in my direction, so the total curvature was 360. When I did the figure eight, I turned this way, and then I turned this way. And I did a half turn one way and a half turn the other way, and that's 0 net turns. Okay, so here's the thing we did. We just figured out the sum of the angles of the sum of the exterior angles of any triangle had to be 360. And from that, we figured out that the sum of the interior angles had to be 180. Okay, now I want you to do a little bit of work. I want you guys to do this for an n-gon. So we've got something with, well, here I drew it with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 sides. But in general, let's suppose it has n sides. And I want you to figure out what is the sum of all of the angles on the inside of an n-gon. Find the sum of all the interior angles an n-gon. And if you find that's too hard, then do it for a quadrilateral. If you don't like doing it for general n, do it for a quadrilateral, and then do it for a pentagon, and then do it for a hexagon. And by the time you've done a quadrilateral, a pentagon, and a hexagon, I'll bet you anything you'll see the pattern. Yes?
Hang on a minute. An n-gon, right?
Yep. So we did it for n equals 3. So let's see if you can do it for n equals 4, 5, 6, 7, 352, 8,769.
Ergo.
Etc. So, do we have paper for these guys to scribble on?
We have some outside.
Okay, can... Can you just... I'd like you to take a few minutes and try to figure this out, and then we're going to talk about the solution altogether, okay? So don't get too frustrated if you don't get it, but I do want you, you learn a lot more math by doing than by just listening.
Venn diagram and...
Yeah, well, we're just going to talk about one thing. We're going to talk about one thing. So I want you to figure it out for... We just figured it out for a triangle, right?
Yeah.
We did it for a triangle. So I want you to figure out for a quadrilateral where you have four corners. And I want you to figure it out for a pentagon where you have five corners. And then when you get those, I want you to extend it to figure out 6 and 7 and 8 and 9 and 10. And see if you can do it for any number of corners. Figure out what the...
Well, now for the 800, like, I mean that starting from here, the number of sides it has times 60 is...
It's not going to be times 60. You figure out what it is, okay? Actually, I'm going to put the table up. I need paper I need paper for the doc cam. Okay. So, who's got it for a foregone? This could be known as the foregone conclusion. Yes. What do we have for a foregone?
The average or the sum?
The sum.
360.
The sum should be 360. How come? How did you get this? How did you get that the sum of the angles was 360s? Now, it's cheating and just saying that you could do it for your favorite foregone, which is a square, and that's 490 degree turns. But if you had to think it out for just a general foregone, you know, say this foregone, how do you know it's 360?
Because when you... Why did I use the formula?
For which formula?
The formula for the sum of the angles of geometric shapes.
But where does that come from? See, that's where we're headed. We're trying to get that sum of the angles. So let's walk through the foregone case. For the foregone case, we've got, there's a foregone. Okay, let's call the angles here alpha, beta, gamma, and delta. So how much are you curving when you go around this, how much do you curve when you go around this corner? Whenever you go around a corner, how much do you change your direction? Yeah?
180 minus beta.
180 minus the angle, right? You're curving by an amount, 180 minus beta. And then when you go around that corner, how much are you curving by?
180 minus gamma.
180 minus gamma. And then you're curving around this corner and you go?
180 minus delta.
180 minus delta. And then you go around this corner and you curve by? 180 minus alpha. And what do you know about the total curvature of the loop?
It's 360, right?
360. So let's write it down. 180 minus alpha plus 180 minus beta plus 180 minus gamma plus 180 minus delta. That gives us 4 times 180 minus alpha plus beta plus gamma plus delta, and that has to equal what?
360.
Has to equal 360. So, now let's do a little bit of algebra. And what's alpha plus beta plus gamma plus delta?
360.
4 times 180 minus 360 is alpha plus beta plus gamma plus delta. 4 times 180 is 720, which is 360. Hooray! Whenever you go around a quadrilateral, the sum of the angles is 360. Now, if you went around a triangle, you have three angles that add up to 180. So what's the average of those? What's the average of three things that add up to 180? Yeah.
180.
That's the sum. What's the average? If you had 57 and 73 and 50, those add up to 180. What's their average?
60.
60, right? Three things add up to 180. They average out to 60. So whenever you have a triangle, the average of the angles is 60 degrees. If you have an equilateral triangle, what do all of the angles have to be?
60.
60, because they're all the same. If they're all the same, their average is whatever value they have. Okay. For quadrilateral, we just said the sum of the interior angles was 360. So what does the average angle have to be? 90. And so if you have a regular quadrilateral, better known as a square, what are all the angles of a square?
90.
You know, no big surprise here. What's going to happen when we do a pentagon? Who got the sum of the angles of a pentagon? Yes, back there.
Okay.
Yeah, you. What's your name?
Pia.
Pia?
Yeah.
Okay.
I got the sum to be
540. The sum was 540. How come?
Whatever God it is, and
Yeah. And you said something very interesting. You said 180 times however many there are. So let's skip ahead all the way, not doing the pentagon. Let's do an n-gon. Okay? What? An n-gon is a polygon with n sides. So a three-gon is a triangle, and a four-gon is a quadrilateral, and a five-gon is a pentagon. And we're going to talk about something with an arbitrary number of sides. We call that an n-gon. So let's look at the n-gon. And we say the n-gon has one side with an angle theta 1, theta 2, and you go all the way around, and the last has size theta n. So around this corner you turn how much? 180 minus theta 1, 180 minus theta 2, all the way around to 180 minus theta n. The total curvature has to be 360, and so we wind up with n times 180 minus the sum of the angles has to be 360. And now we put this on the other side, we put this on the other side, and we get that n minus 2 times 180 equals the sum of the angles. Just, if I understand right, that's exactly what you were saying, right? Right, that you can do it for however many you want. And when we did this for three angles, we got that the sum was 180. And when we did this for four angles, we got the sum was 360. And if we spelled it out for five angles, we'd get 540. And for six, we'd get 720. And so on. Okay, so let's finish off our table. For a five-gon, the total is going to be what? 540. And so what's the average angle going to be? 108. 540 divided by 5 is 108. For a hexagon, we're going to have 720. And the average is going to be 120. And here we're going to have n minus 2 times 180. And here we're going to have n minus 2 over n times 180. Okay. We're going to need this in a little bit. Okay. So that's all I want to say about curves in the plane. Okay. In the plane, we had this nice deal about how you go around in a loop, and the total amount that you curve is 360. And from that, we figured out what are all the angles of a regular triangle or a regular quadrilateral or hexagon or septagon or a 17-gon or whatever. Now that we've learned that the sum of the angles of a triangle is 180, we're going to learn that the sum of the angles of a triangle isn't always 180. And that's because we're not always on a plane. Now, if you go out to Lubbock, you look around and you say, the surface of the Earth is a plane. It is dead flat. But it's not quite dead flat. What's the surface of the Earth? What's the shape of the surface of the Earth, really? It's a sphere. It's a bumpy sphere, right? It's a bumpy sphere. You mean you got mountains and valleys and stuff like that. But if you took out the bumps, you'd have a sphere. Spheres are curved, and what we're heading next is we've talked about the curvature of curves and how they have to add up to something. Now we're going to talk about the curvature of surfaces. I want to understand what is the curvature of a sphere and what the heck does that mean? The amazing thing about a sphere is that the sum of the angles of a triangle is not 180 degrees. If I draw a sphere here, is that a decent sphere? Okay. Let's suppose we start at the North Pole. Oh, Whoops, hold on a second. Can you have triangles on a sphere?
Yes.
What's a triangle? What's a triangle?
You use
what? I'm sorry?
Latitude
lines are actually not straight lines. We're going to discover that they curve, because if you go along a line of constant latitude at 89.99999 degrees north latitude, here's the North Pole. That's a line of constant latitude. I don't think you'd call that a straight line. It's just going around loop. But we do have a notion of a straight line. And that's the straight line is the shortest path between two points. So it's not really a straight line in the three-dimensional sense that you just take a point here and take a point here and you shine a flashlight, shine a line of light from here to here. On a curve, on a surface, if you tried to shine a beam directly from the North Pole to a spot on the equator, it would have to go through the Earth. That doesn't count. So we're going to define something which we call a geodesic. A geodesic is something that comes as close to being a straight line as possible. A geodesic follows the shortest path between two points. So what is a geodesic from the North Pole to the equator going to look like? What direction do you want to go? Let's suppose you're at the equator and you want to go to the North Pole in the shortest distance possible. What direction should you head? North? Yeah. Yeah.
Southwest.
Southwest to get to the North. Now, you can fly southwest, but you can't. You're not going to walk north southwest to get to the North Pole. Yeah.
By our view, I'd most likely tunnel straight from a planet.
Well, tunneling, we're not allowed to tunnel. We have to stay on the surface of the Earth because, you know, tunnels are expensive and our car just doesn't go underground very well. I mean, we've got a great car that can go over the surface of the ocean, but it doesn't tunnel. And we want to get to the North Pole by the shortest possible path. Come on, what's the shortest possible path? What direction do you head? Straight north. Okay, straight north. This is the shortest path from the North Pole to that spot. What's the shortest path from that spot to the North Pole?
Also straight
north. What's the shortest path from here to here?
Straight east.
Straight east, yeah, along the equator. Okay, what's this angle here?
90 degrees.
90 degrees. It's the angle between east and north. What's this angle here? 90 degrees. That's weird. We got a triangle with two 90 degree angles. When you're on the surface of a sphere, the sum of the angles is no longer 180 degrees. It's bigger. When you're on the surface of a sphere, the amount that you wind up curving depends as you go on a closed loop, is not always a multiple of 180. You see, if I were right here next to the North Pole and I did a tiny little loop, if I were driving my car, I'd have to turn the wheel really hard to the left in order to do that tiny little loop. And you'd probably say that the total curvature that I've done is pretty much 360 degrees. But what if I were driving along the equator and I go all the way around the equator? How much have I curved?
Here's the Earth, and then it's every sphere, the shortest path of the sphere without going inside, you have to walk P times more if...
That's the total distance to go around. I want to figure out the directions. If I'm on the equator and I take a trip all the way around the equator in my car that goes over water as well as land, how much do I have to turn the wheel to the left or the right in order to stay on the equator?
Zero.
So up at the North Pole, it's 360. At the equator, it's zero. If I do it at the latitude of Austin and go all the way around on a latitude line, It's going to be somewhere between 360 and zero. The farther south you go, the bigger the smaller the number gets. If I go right around the North Pole, it's a curvature of 360. Right around the equator, it's a curvature of zero. It changes. So our rules about curvature are funny on a sphere, but we can measure how much they're funny. So here's how we define two-dimensional curvature. Definition. The 2D curvature of a region is the sum of the interior angles, say, of a triangular region, is the sum of the interior angles minus 180. It's how much extra angle we get. So, if this goes 1/6 of the way around the equator, what would this angle be? 60.
360 divided by 6.
Is 60, exactly right. So how much extra angle does that wedge have?
60.
It's got 290 degrees and a 60 degree angle. So its total is? What's the total angle?
270.
Not 270. 240. And how much bigger than it's supposed to be is that? 60. So the total curvature of that piece of the sphere is 60. Okay. What's the total curvature of the northern hemisphere?
Zero.
Huh? How many of these pieces would you need to make up the northern hemisphere?
Six.
Six. Right? Yeah. You took this piece, and then this piece, and then this piece, and then this piece, and this piece, and this piece. Right? We said you were going a sixth of the way around the equator. Here's another one of those that goes a sixth of the way around the equator. Here's another one that goes a sixth of the way around the equator. Here's another one that goes a sixth around the equator. Here's another one that goes. Here's another one that goes. Okay? The northern hemisphere is made of six of those regions. So what's the total curvature of the northern hemisphere?
360.
360. What's the total curvature of the entire sphere?
720.
Okay. Before we had a rule about one-dimensional curvature that we said whenever you went around a closed loop in the plane, the one-dimensional curvature had to add up to a multiple of 360. Well, there's a similar rule about two-dimensional curvature. No matter what kind of surface you have, the two-dimensional curvature always adds up to a multiple of 360. And in this case, it's not 1 times 360, it's twice 360. Okay. Well, it's a little bit subtle. You have this magic fact about curved surfaces that if you take a small triangle, you know, if you draw a triangle on the ground in Lubbock and you measure the angles, you're going to get the sum of the angles is pretty darn close to 180 degrees because you've got this little triangle and you have to go out thousands of miles to really see the curvature of the Earth. If you take a very big triangle and you measure the angles, maybe you're going to get 181 degrees or maybe 190 degrees. If you take a gigantic triangle where the legs are thousands of miles long, you know, from the equator to the, from the North Pole to the equator and a sixth of the way around the Earth and back to the North Pole, you know, that's 4,000 miles this way, and about, it's 6,000 miles this way, and 4,000 miles this way, and 6,000 miles this way. Okay, if you've got this gigantic triangle, then you wind up with 60 extra degrees. The bigger the region that you're covering, the more curvature you have. So here's the rule for spheres. So the rule for any kind of surface is the total curvature of any surface is a multiple of 360 degrees. Now, for the sphere, it's 720. For other kinds of shapes, it's different numbers. We're going to find some surfaces later on where the total is not 720. But for a sphere, it's 720. Yes?
Could you have a triangle that goes north or south and then, like, some random point?
Well, if you go north and then south, depends if you're going to the North Pole or not. If you go north and then south, then you're just doubling back on yourself.
Like, North Pole, like, one of the lines go from North Pole to the South Pole, and then you find some random point on the equator with the other.
Sure. That's a good question. If you had the North Pole to the South Pole, that's one edge, and then you came back up, say, to here, and from here to here. Okay, that's sort of a triangle. It's actually what we would call a loon. Because it's a loon, it's a little, like a little piece of the moon. It's a crescent. Because you can think of it as a triangle with one edge here, a second edge here, and a third edge here. Well, what's this angle? 180. So you can think of it as sort of a wedge of an orange. If you think of an orange as being a sphere, if you say, what is one of the slices of the wedges of your orange? If you want, you can think of it as a triangle with a certain angle at the top and a certain angle at the bottom, and then a 180-degree angle at the middle. Or you can say it's a tugon. And a tugon is usually supposed to have the sum of the angles being zero. And now it's got the extra angle is this plus this. However you slice it, the extra angle is this angle plus this angle. And you can either say it's, let's say it's 60 degrees. You can either say it's 60 plus 60, what's 120 for your tugon, and your tugon is supposed to have zero, so you have 120 extra. Or you can say it's 60 plus 60 plus 180. And that makes 300 degrees, which is too much for a triangle. The triangle is supposed to only be 180. So either way, you've got an excess of 120 degrees. 120 degrees, this is a sixth of the way around. Our orange has six slices in it. So each slice of orange gives you an extra 120 degrees. You have six of them going around. The total of the orange is, what is it, the total? 720. Okay? All right. So what I want to talk about now is, curved surfaces are a little bit hard to deal with because, well, they're curved. Curved things are difficult to do the math. You basically need calculus to do things properly on a curved surface. And this is a good advertisement for why everybody should learn calculus. But I'm not assuming that everybody here has learned calculus, so let's do something a little bit simpler. Let's talk about a surface that has corners, a box. Question, where does the curvature on this box live? What? Well, we're all talking about the surface. I mean, is there any curvature up here? No, because let's see. If I wanted to draw a triangle up there, here we go. Actually, will this work on the doc cam? Let's see if it can focus. Okay, let's suppose I take three points on the surface and I draw a triangle. What's the sum of the angles of that triangle? 180. Why is it 180? Because it's flat, right? The face of the box is just a flat side. There is no curvature on the flat parts. Okay. Is there curvature on the edge? Well, let's see. Suppose I take a point over here and a point over here and a point over here, and I want to make a triangle out of them. Okay? What is the shortest path from here to here going to be? Straight line. Okay. How can I figure out the shortest path from here to here? What? Yeah, we're not allowed to go through the box. We remember our cars don't tunnel. Yeah. Yeah.
Construction wise, you take a piece of string, tack one into one dot, tack one into the other, both those things.
That's right. You could do that. You could tack, put a tack here. Better than a string would be a rubber band, because a rubber band would sort of pull it tight. I got a better idea. Have I changed the distances any?
No.
No. Now, what's the shortest path from here to here? Straight line. Okay, I can't draw while holding. Okay, you see the distance of that path is the same thing as the distance of this path. Yeah. So, and then if I wanted to figure out what's the shortest path from here to here, I draw that line. Now, what's the sum of the angles of... So here we have three angles in our triangle. What's the sum of those angles?
180.
Because what's the sum of these angles?
180.
So how much curvature was there along this edge?
Zero.
Huh. That's weird. There's no curvature on the faces, and there's no curvature on the edge. Where does the curvature have to live? Corners. We have to figure out how much curvature there is on the corners. So here's our next deal. I'm going to take 3 points here. Let's take a point right here, and a point right here, and a point right here. Say, this point is 1 centimeter from this edge and 1 centimeter from this edge. And this point is 1 centimeter from this edge and 1 centimeter from this edge. And this point is 1 centimeter from this edge and 1 centimeter from this edge. What is the straight? What is the straight line from here to here going to look like?
It's going to be 2 centimeters long.
It's going to be 2 centimeters long, and what direction is it going to go?
Southwest.
It just goes completely horizontally. Okay. What's the shortest path from here to here going to be?
2 centimeters.
No, you have to go around the blocks. Because that corner, when you take it apart...
Well, I wouldn't take it apart this way. I would take it apart this way. I would take it apart this way, and then I would have a straight line. And that straight line goes up and across the edge. And what's the straight line from here to here? Okay? Now, what's this angle?
90 degrees.
90 degrees. And this angle?
90 degrees.
And this angle?
90 degrees.
And that's not what you usually have for a triangle. You have three 90 degree angles. So how much curvature is there?
270.
It's 270, but how much curvature is there?
Oh, 90.
90. We've got 90 degrees more than we're supposed to. And that tells you that the curvature at this corner of the box is 90 degrees. How many corners does the box have?
Six.
Oh.
Eight. And what's 8 times 90?
270.
8 times 90 is 720. What's the total curvature of a sphere?
720.
So just like we started with a circle and banged it flat until it became a triangle and said the total curvature of a triangle was 360, we're going to take a sphere and we're going to bang it flat until it becomes a cube or a parallelepiped or any sort of box. We say the total curvature is 720. Okay, I got about 5 minutes and then we'll take a break, all right? Okay, so here's the deal in general. You get curvature whenever you have a corner that when you open it out is missing an angle. One way to see this, I drew a particular one where you could see that there were 90 degrees. But in general, here's the sort of of thing we have around a vertex. Not just for a box, but for any kind of shape. We're going to have some things coming around here. And I claim that the total curvature of the vertex is the extra angle that you wind up with if you unfold it. So whenever you have a sheet of paper that you fold like this, the total curvature of this point is 180 degrees. Because when I open it up, we only get halfway around. We don't get all the way around. Okay. The way to see that is to say, hey, let's put a point on each side. Okay. If I put a point on each side here, I'm going to do it on the doc cam. I take a point on this side and a point on this side and a point on this side. Okay. When I draw the straight line here, I can draw it flat before I puff it out again. When I draw a straight line here, I can draw it flat before I puff it out again. When I draw a straight line on the back side, I can draw it flat. Okay? And now, if I unfold the box, what I'm really trying to figure out is what is the sum of these angles. And the sum of these angles is 180 minus this angle, plus 180 minus this angle, plus 180 minus this angle. But these turns don't give me my whole 360 degree turn. This angle, this outer angle plus this outer angle plus this outer angle doesn't take me all the way around. I need something extra to go all the way around. And the something extra is what's missing over here. Is that on screen? This is what's missing from the exterior angles. So this is what's extra in the interior angles. So what we have is at a vertex, the curvature is equal to the missing angle when you unfold. Okay? So we saw that when you had a box, if you had a box and you unfolded it at a particular corner, if you unfold a box at a particular corner, what's the missing angle? 90 degrees. It had been all together, but when I pull the pieces apart, the missing angle is 90 degrees. Okay. What we're going to do after the break is we're going to take that idea, we're going to take the fact that the total curvature is 720, and that the curvature of each vertex is the missing angle, to understand what are all the Platonic solids. And then we're going to go and we're going to consider some irregular shapes. We're going to see some surfaces where the total curvature is not 720, but is zero. And we're going to see how to make surfaces where the total curvature is less than zero. Okay, let's take a break and have some food.
So go have some food. We're going to start again at 2:10. Yeah, that clock is a little fast, but 2:10 or in about 10 minutes. Anything that we should get or prepare for?
Let's see. What I'm planning to do is go through, pull back the previous thing about what are the interior angles of a triangle, quadrilateral, pentagon, and so on, and then say, okay, how much curvature would you have if you glued three triangles together, four triangles, five triangles, six triangles, okay, seven triangles, squares, etc. If you could make me up, just cut out some reasonably small triangles and squares.
We have some, I believe we have a stash of little paper triangles that might would be enough for the audience.
Yeah.
Get those? Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Hey,
sure.
So I've been struggling with this since the early part of your presentation.
A recap of what we did in the first hour, okay? So that if you kind of tuned out or fell asleep or just generally got really antsy and weren't paying attention or it was all just way too confusing, at least we'll have a summary of where we are so far. So, what we had is we talked about curves in the plane, and we had the total curvature is a multiple of 360 degrees. And then we talked about very sharp cornered curves. We talked about the curves that go perfectly straight for a long time and then turn a corner. Those are called polygons. So we had polygons in the plane. And then we had that the total exterior angle is 360 degrees. Okay. And then we figured out what this had to say about interior angles. And we had our table. That for a triangle, the total interior angle was 180 and the average was 60. For a quadrilateral, the total interior angle was 360 and the average is 90. And the important thing here is if you have more than 6, that's a greater than sign, then you have bigger than 120 degrees. So that's what we learned about things in the plane. And then we turned our attention to surfaces, and we said that I have my papers just jumbled up. But on a surface, sum of interior angles of a triangle is not 180. And we said that the curvature of a surface is the extra angle. And we talked about the total curvature of a surface. Is equal to a multiple of 360 degrees. And not only is it a multiple of 360 degrees for the sphere, the total is 720 degrees. And then just like before, when we took our smooth curves and banged them into polygons, then we took our smooth sphere and we banged it down into, you flatten a whole bunch of faces and turn it into a polyhedron. We turn it into something with flat faces that meet on edges and on vertices. And we said, for a polyhedron, there's no curvature on the faces. There's no curvature on the edges. And that's a little bit surprising because, you know, when you have an edge between two things, you normally think, oh, it's curving a lot there. But in terms of your geometry of triangles, we have the trick that anything that you do across an edge, you just flatten out. And you realize that a triangle has to add up to 180 degrees if it goes across an edge. And we figured out that all of the curvature lives on the vertices. That if you draw a triangle with one point on this yellow pentagon and one point on this pink pentagon and one point on this pink pentagon, and you draw a triangle, the sum of the angles doesn't come out quite right. And the amount that the sum of the angles is more than 180 is exactly this extra angle right here. The extra angle when you unfold the pieces that come together at the vertex. So, curvature at the vertex equals missing angle. So here, the vertex, if you laid it flat, that it has an angle that's a little bit less than 360, and so that, we say, comes from a positive curvature vertex. Okay. Now we want to figure out, so I want to figure out what kind of vertices can you get by putting together some pretty natural shapes. Like, suppose I wanted to make a polyhedron out of triangles. How many triangles could I put around a vertex? Yeah?
Triangles around a vertex.
Would it make sense to put three triangles around a vertex?
Yes.
Okay. What is the total curvature? What is the curvature of the vertex if you put... What?
Just this.
Ah, that comes later. What's the total curvature if you put three triangles around a vertex? I need three different colored triangles. At least if they have... There's the pentagon supply. Where'd the triangle supply go? Come on. Oh, there we go. Okay. Here we go. I got my pink triangle and my green triangle and my yellow triangle. And I make a vertex out of them. And it's a pretty sharp vertex here. How much curvature do you suppose there is at that point? Well, how do we figure out the curvature of that vertex? We unfold it. There we go. Unfold it. What's the missing angle?
180.
180. Okay. If this one is 180 and the sum of all the curvatures is supposed to be 720, how many vertices do we need? How many?
Four.
Right? Because 720 is 4 times 180. So do you think we can make a surface? Do you think we can make a polyhedron where you have 4 of these vertices? We can if we have some tape. Ah, we do have some tape. There we go. You guys seen these? What's this called?
Tetrahedron.
Tetrahedron has three triangles meeting at a vertex. Three triangles meeting at a vertex. And you have 1, 2, 3, 4 vertices. 180 plus 180 plus 180 plus 180 makes 720. We win. Comes out right. Okay. What happens if you try, could you try to make a vertex with 4 triangles at each vertex? Do you think it might work if we, I may wind up trashing these. Okay. If we put 4 triangles at a vertex, do you think that might work? Let's see, if we put 4 triangles at a vertex, what's the total curvature going to be? What's the curvature at that point? Well, let's see. What's the missing angle?
120. Louder.
120, okay. So if we have 120 at each vertex, how many vertices do we need? How many? Six. Okay? You see that each vertex is where four equilateral triangles meet, and they're all the same. Wherever you have these four triangles meet, you get 120 degrees of curvature. Since you have 720 total, you need to have six vertices. Okay, well, look and pass. Oops, and don't spill. Okay. What would happen if you tried to put five triangles around a vertex? Would that work? Now you get a point that's not very pointy. Okay. What's the curvature now? Sixty. So how many vertices do you need? 60-degree vertices, the total is 720, so how many do you need?
203.
12. Any of you guys play D&D or other games like that? You've seen 20-sided dice? 20-sided dice is called an icosahedron. It's a